Harper Audio presents Spycatcher by Matthew Dunn, performed by Rich Orlow. Part 1. Chapter 1. "You're sure that I won't be killed today?" The spy rubbed a hand against his smooth face and looked down at the wet Central Park grass beneath him. It was very early in the morning, and beyond the park the sounds of New York life were distant and mellow. He frowned and shook his head slightly. A fine windless rain fell. "This whole thing seems odd." Will Cochrane observed the man for a while before speaking.
"Sarouche, it is odd. That's why you'll have 3 expert men close by to protect you."
Sarouche's frown deepened. He looked up at Will's tall and powerful frame.
"Only 3? That's all your masters in British intelligence could give you?"
Will pushed fingers through his cropped dark hair, and then reached out to touch the Iranian's arm.
"Perfectly adequate for what we need to happen."
The spy chuckled a little.
"I thought I was your most valuable asset."
"You are."
Sarouche swiveled so that he was fully facing Will.
"But good things always come to an end."
Will removed his hand and quickly glanced left and right. There were few other people in their vicinity, and certainly no one close to them. The British intelligence officer looked back to his companion.
"No, it's not like that. The Iranians called the meeting, not us. If we don't do this, then we'll never know what they want."
Sarouche jammed his hands into his coat pockets. He lowered his head again. Will felt a surge of doubt and fear for his agent, but he checked these emotions and spoke calmly.
"I found you all those years ago when you were still working for the Iranian Ministry of Intelligence and Security. I persuaded you to keep working in MOIS, and at the same time spy for the British. I got you out of Iran when it looked as if your cover could be compromised. And when it turned out that such a concern was unfounded, I taught you how to continue to spy on your country from the safety of Europe."
He forced a smile.
"Throughout all our time together, I've always protected you, and I will continue to do so today."
The Iranian said nothing for a moment. He then cleared his throat and shook his head vigorously.
"In my 8 years in the UK, I've provided you with intelligence that only a very few current or former members of MOIS would have access to, and I know you have taken action on much of my intelligence, meaning that the Iranians should know they have a breach. A studious officer within the security department of MOIS would be able to narrow down that breach. Then out of the blue a message is passed to me? A message from MOIS saying they want to meet me."
He looked intently at Will.
"Even if you think I wasn't compromised in the old days, you have to concede there is a strong possibility that I'm now being set up."
Will didn't return his gaze. He'd already concluded that the 2 Iranian intelligence officers who wanted to meet his secret agent today probably had nefarious intentions toward the man. He'd also concluded that if this were the case, his agent's cover was blown, and Sarouche would therefore be of no further use to him. But Will needed the meeting to take place in order to be sure. And regardless, his man was going to be protected.
"Why do you think they chose New York for the meeting?"
Sarouche's words were hushed and quick. Will looked around and then back at his agent. The correct answer to this question, he suspected, was that the Iranians knew that Sarouche was a Western spy and wouldn't agree to meet in a non-Western city.
"You're now an entrepreneur who does a lot of business in the States. They're trying to minimize inconvenience to you."
Sarouche's expression seemed to harden.
"I'm not so sure."
Will checked his watch and smiled.
"Are you prepared to go through with this or not?"
Sarouche looked blankly at him for a while, but then shrugged.
"You know me too well."
"I do."
The 2 men became silent. The rain hit their faces with increased intensity. Will drew a deep breath and spoke quietly.
When you're on Gapstow Bridge at the north end of the pond, you won't be able to see me because I'll be hidden. But if you look directly south across the pond, you'll be looking at my approximate location. I'll be 180 meters from you and will be monitoring you and your meeting through binoculars. Sarouche turned back toward Will. He angled his head.
And your friends?
You may see some of them, but they won't look out of place. And if anything happens, they will react with absolute speed, aggression, and precision.